An Instagrammer has been charged with selling fraudulent COVID-19 vaccination cards. Two teens on TikTok proved their high school dress code is, in fact, very sexist. And as the month gets off to a shaky start, we've got the book cleanse you need to get through September.
It's September 1st, 2021.
Hey friends, I'm Casey Rackham.
And I'm Shyla Watson. Welcome to BuzzFeed Daily.
So I'm going to be real with you all. I'm in a mood today. Shyla, are you in a mood?
I'm very much in a mood.
So the first half of today's episode is heavy and rage-inducing, but sometimes we just have to be fueled by the anger. As many of you probably know by now, a 6-week abortion ban took effect in Texas this morning after the Supreme Court failed to stop it. Medical emergencies are exempt, but pregnancies resulting from rape or incest are not. Private citizens are being called upon to enforce the ban. If they suspect a violation, they can sue to stop abortion providers from operating and demand the provider pay them a $10,000 monetary award. The Supreme Court justices can still rule on the law, but the fact that it was allowed to go into effect in the first place marks a huge shift in U.S. abortion rights. You know, it goes without saying that this is incredibly upsetting and will have harmful effects on women and others in need or want of an abortion.
You know, something that struck me about that is I feel as though an unwanted pregnancy is a medical emergency.
It is. It's your health care.
So I just feel like that's stupid. And this is really scary because it's so unprecedented that, you know, I think you said, but just like, where is this going to lead? You know, like this is
nowhere good unless Democrats step up and stop with the non-bipartisan bullshit.
Okay, so moving on to even more upsetting news. Instagrammer Jasmine Clifford, who goes by Anti-Vax Mama, has been charged with selling fraudulent COVID-19 vaccination cards. Why? She first started advertising the cards, which went for $200 a piece on her now defunct account back in May. She also worked with a New York Medical Clinic employee to enter a handful of people into the New York State Immunization Information System database for an extra $250 each. Clifford managed to sell about 250 of the fake cards before her operation was shut down.
Don't you love when people will just like pay money instead of just doing something they could easily do? Don't you just love that, Shyla? Everyone is wrong in this scenario. Everyone that took part in that is wrong, except for the people that charged her. That is the one good thing. And we should be very clear. She is definitely not the only person doing this. There are many people online that are doing this, so much so that you can actually turn these people in to the government. Like, there's now a website where you can do that.
Yeah. And like, I have a friend who was out this weekend and like someone came up to him and was like trying to sell them in person and was like bragging about doing it. It's like, this is so shameful. And again, scary, scary. The numbers are increasing. This is a pandemic.
Legitimately, just go get vaccinated. Vaccinations aren't new.
Everything is bad today.
Everything's bad. And I've got one more bad story for you, Shyla.
Oh, no.
It's going to make you want to get under your covers in the fetal position. Okay, so two teens on TikTok set out to prove that their high school dress code is sexist, and they very much succeeded. Drew Jarding and Kenzie Crimmins decided to wear nearly identical outfits to school on the same day to see if a boy would be punished for breaking the same dress code rules girls are punished for. Kenzie wore a crop top and leggings, and Drew wore a similar crop top and shorts that fell above his knees, which is against one of the rules, and so is crop tops. You can't show your stomach. Despite both being seen by numerous teachers, by the end of the day, only Kenzie was written up for, quote, showing her stomach.
I hate this.
Yes, gosh. Just groan, Shyla. Just groan.
You know, I wore a uniform up until like high school. But when I was in high school, I was dress coded all the time. And like,
oh, no, Shyla.
Yes. And I mean, luckily or not luckily, I lived on my campus. I went to boarding school. So I had to hike up this hill to change constantly. But this is just really annoying because it is such a double standard. And I don't really understand what the purpose of dress codes is. Like, in my mind, it's like, okay, you know, school is like kids' jobs and you have to like look semi-professional, but like, it's also school and you're a teenager. Like, I just don't understand what the actual purpose of a dress code is and why they're not making it consistent for both, like for all genders.
We know the answers to both of them. And sexism.
Oh, but, I hate it here. This is not okay. The way I want to start September 1st. Like, I don't want this to be the start of the month, Casey.
I know, because this is sad, because Shyla, I bet she could tell me without even looking up, how many days till Christmas?
I think 115.
Okay, I knew you would know. And I'm so sorry that this is how we're starting your time to shine. But we are going to cleanse your palate and everyone else's palate with your favorite thing, books.
Yay. A silver lining. So we're about to enter one of the busiest months in the publishing world, and the upcoming September 2021 book releases rollout is no exception. From fiction to romance and everything in between, BuzzFeed's Kirby Beaton joins us now with the books that you need to be reading this month. Hi, Kirby. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
So I am so excited to talk about books. It is the first of the month. It's September. Now, that means that it's almost fall and that it's our favorite season. Like, as readers, fall is our favorite. Can you just, like, explain to everyone why fall is, like, reader season?
Oh my God, yeah. It is truly the epitome of reader season. I think all people who love books, they just want to be cozy. They want to have an excuse to sit at home and read their book all day in the comfort of their couch, of their bed, wherever it might be. And I feel like cold, gloomy weather, it just gives us every reason to cancel plans and stay home and read, which is all we ever want.
Yes, it's what I'm going to do as soon as this podcast is over. Okay, so now that it is fall, almost, we've got a couple of weeks. How do you think the actual books themselves are going to sort of shift? Like, I know people were reading a lot of, like, summer beach reads. So what are sort of, like, the books of fall, do you think?
Yeah, no, I feel like everyone was kind of trying to read fun, beachy, light books because they wanted it to feel like hot girl summer, even though it didn't actually feel like hot girl summer.
Very much, yes.
Yeah, so I think a lot of us were kind of trying to escape through books over the last few months. But I think as we sort of turn into fall, I think the books everyone will be reading will kind of become more buzzy, a bit more, meaty, things that people can really sink their teeth into. I think, you know, books that really promote discussion. I feel like book clubs are going to really come back and everyone's going to be wanting to read sort of the new hot stuff that they can talk about on Twitter.
Okay, so, you know, one of those hot books is actually one that was self-published in 2018, and that is called Black Girls Must Die Exhausted. And, you know, its author, Jane Allen, was eventually offered a 4-book deal by HarperCollins, which is no small feat in the publishing world. What is so compelling about this story?
Yeah, I think it's so impressive. And I think it just shows that people are really excited for this book, myself included. You know, I think Black authors are finally sort of getting their turn to tell their stories. And I think that's one of the reasons why people are so excited for this. It follows a lot of the literary fiction tropes we've seen from, you know, white authors before this, of the main character finding out something devastating about her life, having to sort of deal with the consequences of that. You know, the things that we as normal humans, not book characters, go through in our daily lives. But I think we're finally getting sort of a fresh new perspective on that. And we're allowing other people to really see themselves in the book. And I think people are just, they're so happy to see something new and something, you know, within literary fiction, something new and exciting and fresh and from a fresh new voice. And I think there's a reason why this author was self-published and is now getting republished by a major publisher. And I think it's just because people are, they're hungry for these stories. And I think this is going to be one of those ones that's really big this fall.
So staying with fiction for a moment, I want to talk about Colson Whitehead. You know, I read his book, The Underground Railroad, and then he got his second Pulitzer Prize for fiction for The Nickel Boys. And now his latest, Harlem Shuffle, is coming out. It seems like an interesting mix of crime fiction and historical fiction. Do you think that this was actually going to be something his fans enjoy? It's a little bit different than his other stuff.
Yeah, I think it's something that people weren't expecting from him. You know, I think after winning so many awards and, you know, having such critical acclaim, a lot of eyes were on him and what he was going to do next. And I kind of like that he's trying something new with a little bit of crime fiction. And I think it's going to be really exciting. It's still doing what he does best, which is historical fiction that's, you know, really exposing those dark, painful parts of America. And I think fans are still going to get those elements, but it's just sort of packaged in a different way. I think the crime fiction part is really going to keep new readers on their toes. It's going to really excite them and they're going to want to keep reading. But at the same time, I think there's definitely parts of it that are going to keep people who are fans of his and his previous books, they're going to be happy with what they're reading.
You know, and as someone who is new to Colson Whitehead, I mean, I will say if we're talking about historical fiction, we're also talking about crime in America. So it makes sense that those are yes. looped together, right?
That is a very good point. Yeah, I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be something really different, but really unexpected in a great way.
All right, we'll be right back. We've got more with BuzzFeed's Kirby Beaton after the break. Welcome back. We're talking with BuzzFeed's Kirby Beaton about the books that will help you make it through the end of September. So, you know, again, in trying to escape the reality that is our current world, maybe a good fantasy is in order right about now. And, you know, Iron Widow caught BuzzFeed's eye in particular. It's been called Pacific Rim meets The Handmaid's Tale, which makes us already immediately intrigued. But can you tell us a little bit of what the book is about?
Yeah, I'm so excited for this one. And I really think it's going to be huge. I think it's going to get a lot of buzz as the month goes on. So this is basically a really deeply feminist fantasy, and it takes inspiration from real historical figures in Chinese history, which already just that sentence alone got me. And I was like already adding it to my TBR list. But basically it's set in a world where male pilots can sacrifice essentially female ones in this war against aliens. And then one female pilot comes along and basically has the power to do the exact opposite. And then using that immense strength, she plans to just upend the entire misogynistic system from the inside. It's queer, it's feminist, it sounds so exciting. I think it's everything, you know, we can really want in a fantasy right now. And I'm seriously so excited to read this one. I cannot wait.
That one sounds really good. It kind of reminds me of like The Power, but then like aliens.
Yeah, honestly, that's a really good way to put it.
And now I'm just sitting over here as our like film and TV editor, and I'm talking to like two books editors, and I'm like, oh, can't wait to watch the movie.
I mean, honestly, fair enough. I think this one would make a really great
movie. No, it does. You're saying it to me and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm already sold. I could see this one being sold and being turned into something like ASAP.
But yeah. Okay, so that is like the perfect segue to my next thing. So I want to talk about Leanne Moriarty. She is the New York Times bestselling author of things like Big Little Lies, which was made into a very successful, very good TV show, although we did not need that second season. And her latest book, Apples Never Falls, sticks with what she's great at. It's a family drama, but it also mixes in some mystery. So can you tell us a little bit more about what this book is? And do you think that this could be adapted and be our next binge-worthy TV show?
Yeah, I mean, I think fall is really the perfect time for a good mystery. There's just something about gloomy weather that just makes you want to curl up. Mysteries are the kind of book that you can just sit there and read in one sitting, which, again, fall, that's all we want. We just want to stay inside and read.
I'm so happy for the both of you.
Light my little pumpkin candle, go under my weighted blanket.
Exactly. And honestly, I think, you know, this is going to be one of the big mysteries of this month. It's exciting without being scary. I'm not a big scary thriller type person. I like the mystery element, but I don't want to be scared. And I think this one does a really great job of kind of towing that line and really just playing to Moriarty's strengths, you know, Big Little Lies, even Nine Perfect Strangers, which, you know, is also now on Hulu. You know, the characters are sort of where she really shines and they almost feel too real. It's too relatable sometimes, the drama that she's putting in there. And I think this one is even more relatable than her previous novels because it is about family and that family drama and family tension that, you know, a lot of us, I think, can relate to in some way. But, you know, the tension just really simmers below the surface and the twist is never really what you expect it to be. But it's definitely one that you're going to want to just sit and read until you finish it because you have to know what's going to happen.
I might save this one for a Thanksgiving read. I feel like timing it with the family drama of it all.
Smart.
Leave your drama, enter someone else's.
Yes.
Okay, so Kirby, I am saving the best for last, aka Shyla's favorite genre. Yes. I'm doing this just for her. Let's talk romance novels.
Of course.
You know, there are a lot of options on the table, but we really want to get into Allie Hazelwood for one, because she's such a unicorn. She basically writes rom-com novels about women in STEM and academia. And, you know, on BuzzFeed's, like, the top of our list is The Love Hypothesis. And it's basically the romance novel to read this fall. You know, why is a fake relationship between scientists what we all need right now?
Yes, I have been seeing this book everywhere. I think people are just so excited for it, and it's going to be a huge one. I mean, speaking about movie and TV show deals, I could also definitely see this one. Yeah, Shyla's like, I'm already ready. She's written the script.
She's ready. I fan-casted in my head, yes.
Well, I think people are so excited about this one. I think, you know, A, to your point, it is set in the STEM world, which I think is just so unique, especially for a romance novel. It's really refreshing. But also, this actually originated as Star Wars fan fiction. And I think that's something that, you know, it's not only just a funny story, but I think is also just, it's captivating. I think a lot of people who don't read romance sort of write off fan fiction as, you know, something silly or something that just lives on the internet. But I think fan fiction is a world where people can really let loose and write amazing things without worrying about getting a novel published. So I think to see a fan fiction story actually get published means we're going to get something really creative and really real. And I mean, if you're a Star Wars fan, there you go. That's just one more reason to read this. I personally have not seen the movies, but I'm still really excited to read this book regardless. So it's for everyone.
I haven't seen the movies, but I did read this book this week. First, I just want to say, I am always so impressed when authors can A, just write a book, but also she is an actual neuroscientist. Like, she has a PhD in neuroscience. Like, she is a real scientist, and that makes the book so much more authentic. But, like, how do you do both? I don't know. It's not fair. People should not be so multi-talented. And this book has one of my favorite tropes. It's like grumpy sunshine. So you've got the guy who's like, I hate everyone but you. And you've got a girl who literally just wants to drink sugar constantly. And then they it's so good. They have to pretend to be in a relationship, and it's so pure, and I really can't wait for everyone to read it. I want to reread it in like my little sweater and just like be cozy.
Yeah, it just seems like a hug in a book, which, I mean, I don't know about you, but that's what I really need right now. I feel like we all could use a nice big hug at the moment. So, you know, to me reading this, I think it'll just feel like that. A nice little wholesome cuddle of a book.
Ugh, yeah, I love it. I'm feeling this vibe now. All right. Well, Kirby, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's it for today. Thank God. Come back and join us tomorrow.
And remember, everything is terrible, but books aren't.
Be sure to subscribe to BuzzFeed Daily on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you go for your sound stories.
And please take the time to leave us a rating and a review. It helps us figure out what you like about the show versus what you love about the show. And remember to come back for more of what you love about BuzzFeed, coming to you daily.